Abaisai, yesterday I told you what's on my mind, and today you want to hear what's on your mind, okay? How many people are in abundance or related teaching, or raise your hand? Clearly, yeah, and how many are in business? How many in professions? Very good. Okay. Is there any questions you'd like to ask? Any subjects you'd like to raise of general interest? Anything special?
Was she got any suggestions or advice for looking for children? What should one look for, focus on how they fail should one go?
Did you read my book?
Before I got married, I read the book.
Reread it. There I have that most important thing in marriage, two people should have the same goals, right? And I think finding a shidduch, that's the most important thing. You have to find someone with the same goals as your daughter or your son. If people don't have the same goals, then it's a disaster. And of course, they have to be compatible. That they'll decide if they're compatible. And if they're attracted, whatever, everything else. But your job is to find out if they have the same goals in life, that's all. And maybe the couple will think the same, but make sure, you know, they're young and impetuous, and you have to make sure that they're going in the same path. Two people are going two different paths, two different directions, is no good. A girl who was a balas shuvah that was meeting a modern Orthodox young man. She was from and he was from. So she told me, he said, the difference between us two is that I'm looking to find out what I'm mechuyev to do, and he's looking to find out what he's not mechuyev to do. That's the difference. I'm looking to find out what does the Torah want from me. And he wants to find out how can he find a kulah for all the different things that that the Torah is mechayivim. It's like two people meeting on the same floor. They get out of two elevators, but one came from the top down and one came from the bottom up. They meet on the same floor. They're going different directions. So you have to make sure that the children are going in the same directions. That's all. That's the most important thing. And I once asked Rabbi Yoshiv, when I was marrying off my children, I asked him, what's the most important thing to look for in a chosen for my daughter? He says, midas tovus, that's the most important thing. So I said, I have a hatzor for my daughter, he's a boki bishas. She says, it's a sofik if a guy like that has midas tovus. That's what he told me. Check into if he has midas tovus. The most important thing is midas tovus. Considerate, thoughtful, that's after goals, I would say, midas tovus is the most important thing. Okay? That they could pick up probably on the date, but you have to find out if they have midas tovus. You have to understand that two people, a boy and girl, that grow up in frum homes, 90% of them can marry each other. Barring anybody that has some emotional problem, the normal people, 90% can marry each other. They just have to learn how to get along with each other, learn each other's, you know, idiosyncrasies. But generally, they can marry along. Why? Because they're frum. They grew up in a frum home. Their goals are Torah and mitzvahs, yashamayim, to build a home of Torah and chesed. Why can't they get along with each other? Really, you can get married. In Eretz Yisrael, my children all grew up in Eretz Yisrael. They all got married after meeting their kalas three times. They're all happily married, Baruch Hashem. All very happily married. Three times. In America, you tell a bocher to get married three times, he turns white. So here the divorce rate is much higher. Right? Because three times you can find out what the goals are of a person. And you get a feel for the midas, you check into him, you can find out whether he's how his midas are, how he gets along with people. So it's really enough. Three people with the same background, why can't they get married? It's a very easy thing. But two people from totally different backgrounds, that's a little bit more difficult. But from a frum home, it's not a big problem to marry off people. Yeah. Okay? The boys and girls don't like to hear that. But that's the end. It's from an old man. That's the true fact. Yeah. Yes. It's a very good question. Did you ever see the article and dialogue by Rabbi Zev Cohn in Chicago? A very interesting article. I don't know which remember which dialogue it's in, but Rabbi Zev Cohn is a rov in Chicago, and he's the Rosh HaKoel HaChayshim Mishpat there, big Talmud Chochem. He had a lot of Talmidim who studied in Skokie Yeshiva. They went into business. So they organized a vad of all the people that are in business to meet once a week in his house, and he would give them guidelines what they're going to work on the following week. Now sometimes they work on one thing for maybe 4 weeks, 6 weeks. Altogether they worked on particular things together. And then they met at the end of the week and discussed what difficulties there were, how they kept what they did, made kabbalas. And the Kabbalists were to daven, to make brochas bekavonin, asher yotze bekavonin. That was one Kabbalah they made. To make asher yotze bekavonin. First, as two milas. First of all, you go to the bathroom a few times a day. You remind yourself that Hashem created the world and that the world you're living for a purpose. Yeshaliskayim v'lamed l'fanecha, you're here for a purpose. And besides, it sets you apart from the goyim also, because they see that you say make an asher yotza. I was once on a plane. I went to the bathroom and I came out of the bathroom made an asher yotza. So a man came over to me. He was a professor in a university in Kenya. He asked me, "Excuse me," he says, "Do you mind if I ask you what would you just say?" So I told him, "We go to the bathroom. We make a blessing. We thank God for having the body that can." It can rid itself of its waste products. So he said, "Could you translate the blessing to me for me?" I told him yes. He says, he was like dumbfounded. He says, "You're a very unusual nation that something so mundane like going to the bathroom makes you talk about the throne of glory of God." That's exactly what it is. You think Asher Yotza, what it is? Yavsha is It's like an unbelievable bracha. That's one. They made a kabbalah to make asher yotze bekavonah. That's one way. Let them see that you're making asher yotze bekavonah. Davening mincha. You're in the workplace. You have to daven mincha there. So you have to daven bekavonah. Sometimes, if you're living in a frum section or Manhattan, they have these minyanim that they have in offices. Make sure you daven bekavonah that you don't just rattle off the davening, but you daven during the day, the kavonah, even takes a little longer. That's a kabbalah. It would be good to organize a vad, like Rabbi Zev Cohn. You can read that article and dialogue, and you'll see how he did it, what the program was. It's an excellent program. I wish people would, do it all over. Rabbanim would do it all over the country. But that's a thing, to get together a group of people, perhaps, to make a vad, where you meet once a week, preferably under the leadership of a rov or something. But if not, then together with each other, make kabbalas and and you talk about keeping it during the week, at the end of the week. Some of the Kabbalists were to watch your eyes. You're traveling in the subway, you're traveling in a bus, watch your eyes, especially in the summer. Keep your eyes where they should be. And there's lots of Kabbalists a person can make. He can keep himself growing in Ruchnius. Watch your tongue, watch yourself, Lashon Hara. There's a lot of gossip that takes place in an office. You watch yourself, you don't gossip, even about Goyim, you don't gossip. That's, I think, concentrating on one idea for about a month, let's say, together with a group, if possible, we call it a vad, that would be a way to keep yourself above water in a workplace. Otherwise, you get sucked into it, unfortunately. That's all. In general, it's important for a Jew, wherever he is, to think of himself that he's Amleches Kan in a Goy Kodesh. He has a mission in life. He's elevated from all the nations. There's no nation like Am Yisrael. There's no a nation, for example, at your age that would be asking such questions. Nobody would be asking such questions. How can I maintain my ruchnius? Right? Only a Jew asks such questions. Right? That's why we're Atav HaTon Mikol HaAmim. We're different. We're still saying Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma means that Klal Yisrael felt that there's no purpose to life besides keeping the Torah. Nasa first, then Nishma. So we're still asking that question. We have to keep on growing. And the tragedy is that someone thinks that once he goes into business, he's lost, he's not learning all day. That's not the right way to look at it. You're growing your whole lifetime. You have to make a living, and you're doing that. It's also a mitzvah of a safto de ganecho, but it's melachtecha aroi v'teroscha keva. Melachtecha aroi is, doesn't have to be in hours, it's in your attitude. Your melacha is aroi, it's not what you're made for. Right? You're not a lawyer, you're not an accountant, you're not a doctor, you're a ben Torah. Except you're earning a living as a lawyer, an accountant, and so forth. But that's not what you are. It doesn't define your identity. Your identity is a ben Torah, identity is a Jew. When they asked Yoina, right, when they found Yoina sleeping at the bottom of the ship, there was a storm going on, so they asked him, they asked him to identify himself. Who are you? Where are you come from? Where are you going? And what's your work? And the answer to that is, it strikes me every year like a thunderbolt when I read it in the after. Ivri Anochi. That was the answer to all the questions. What's your work? Where are you going? Where are you coming from? All these questions are answered by saying Ivri Anochi. That's all. That answers everything. My identity is Ivri Anochi. My identity is not my work and my job. That's it. On a tombstone, they never write a person's profession. They never write his business. They write one thing: Torah Masim Tovim. That's written on a tombstone. Ivri Anochi. How much did you live your life? Were you a good Ivri or not a good Ivri? And therefore, you cannot let yourself be deluded by a Yetzer Hara to say, once I'm going to work, I'm finished. I'm not a yeshiva bach anymore. I used to spend all day learning and 2 stone, 3 stone. And now I spend an hour in the morning and an hour at night. Another thing that you have to do, I think, is you have to have a time learning Torah be'iyun. It's not good to just hear a daf yomi shir where you don't chazer. It's better than doing other things. But you have to learn Torah be'iyun with a little work. It has to be hard. You have to figure something out. Not hear a shir from someone else. Figure something out with the chavrusa. Ask questions. Try to say terutzim with yigi, with amelus. Amelus in Torah is like a cleansing agent for the neshama. You work hard, you're a different person. And I don't know how much time you have. Let's say you have, a person could maybe get an hour in the morning, gets up early, an hour at night. The Seder Hayom should be, you have to learn Chumash every week. Parshas HaShavua with Rashi. And you could do that in 20 minutes a day. You have to learn halachas every day. So you could do that another 20 minutes. At 40 minutes, you have an hour and 20 minutes left. You have to learn bi'iyun the rest of the time. You have to learn chumish, halacha, and gemara bi'iyun. So you have to do. Halacha can be Mishneh Berurah, can be Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Preferably, it should be an inyan that interests you, that you like to figure know what the halacha is. Like you want to know what's the dinim of mincha, when do you daven mincha, what's the dinim of brochas, how do I make my brochas, different things. Something that interests you is preferable. Learn halacha is not after Mishneh Berurah. There's a lot of svarim around, Hebrew and English. There's svarim around that concentrate on different miksoyas of Torah. Pick a miksoya that you'd like to know well, and go over that until you know it well. That's halacha. In Chumash, you have to learn because you have to be in the Parshat Shavua. You have to speak at your table on Shabbos. You have to be in the Inyanim. You have to know what's going on in Chumash. Sometimes you should look at a Kli Yoko or something like that. It's a nice vort that you could have to say on Shabbos. But you should have something about that. You should know about the Parshat Shavua and be fluent in it. And also your children learn Parshat Shavua. You have to know what's going on. But you have to, but for your Ruchnis, you need Yigiyas HaTorah, you need hard work in Torah. You have to exercise your Koyach of Iyun. Not just sit back and listen to a tape while you're traveling or something like that, or listen to a Shmuz while you're traveling. That's not enough. That's passive. Passive learning is very good. It's a mitzvah, but what you need is active learning. Active is getting involved, mastering something, knowing something. That's it. That's the, so I'm saying, I'm figuring you have 2 hours a day. You can squeeze in 2 hours a day. Get up before davening, and at night, at least 2 hours, maybe more. Those 2 hours, you have to spend maybe an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half in Iyun. Iyun what you learn. That keeps you going. So with Vadim, and with Stoim like this, and learning, you'll be much choshev in a lot of yeshiva bachim while they're in yeshiva. Believe me. Because you have the maturity of knowing what's important. You finally recognize, even anoichi, you finally recognize, I don't want to be like a goy, I want to be like a Jew, I want to grow. And the, what you put in 2 hours is what other bachim can put on in 8 hours. You can shteig. And you have to keep on shteig, you have to keep on growing. Then the Ebesh will help you. You're not going to work forever. I have a friend who's together with me, yeshiva. Unfortunately, he stuttered. So he could never he was a very brilliant boy, but he never could think of being a rov or being a rebbe or anything. So he started working for Social Security. Social Security, after 20 years, he retired. So let's say he started at about 24, 25. Maybe 25 years old, about 50, he already retired. And during the years in Social Security, he had a Seder before davening, and he didn't go home after work. 9 to 5, they work. At 5 o'clock, he went home, went to a base medrash, and he learned until about 7, 8, and he went home to eat. Anyhow, I met him after. After he retired, it must have been about 30-some years. I was sitting in Eretz Yisrael in my house, and all of a sudden he's sitting there in my study. Well, it was very nice, very pleasant after so many years to meet. And I asked him, how are you doing? No, he doesn't want to talk to me about anything. He wants to talk and learning only. He was a Boki Bishas, yeah? In these 30 years, 25, he was in Social Security, I don't know how many years, he became a Boki Bishas. He knew everything. Everywhere he spoke to him, he knew. He's still Baruch Hashem alive. He's old now. But he's still sitting and learning. Shtagging his whole lifetime. So he gave up 25, 30 years of Social Security. But it was Malach Techa Roy, right? Malach Techa Roy, and there are many years after that, and now he's about 80-some, and he's still sitting and learning. He sat and learned from continue learning full time after 50 till 80, 30 years. It's very nice. Right? Aboki b'shas. That's an example. So a person doesn't give up once he works. You have to work. It's a mitzvah. Everything is a mitzvah. We're here in this world to do Ratzon Hashem, and we have to earn a living. So, but you should keep on growing, keep on steiging. That's all. In fact, it's important also passive learning. Place when you're traveling, when you have recordings that you can listen to while you're traveling, but that's not the main part of learning. The main part of learning is active learning, involvement, hard work. Listening is very nice, you know, it's a nice shmooze, a nice thought, a nice idea. Okay, so, a very important question. Yeah. Can't you learn home? It is very important. It is very important the kids should see you learning. There's no question about it. It's very, very important. Yeah. Someone told me that the most powerful lesson that he had in his lifetime was he knew that his father gets up before davening and learns in his study. He sits and learns. Rav Gifter, Zechon Levacha, told me he grew up in Baltimore. I remember him when he was a young man, but not when he was a boy. But he grew up in Baltimore, and he's much older than me. And he told me that he sometimes had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and he always noticed there was a light on in one house across the road. There was always a light on. All the lights were dark except one light. So he asked his mother, "How come that light is always on?" Mother told him, "That's Rabbi Marcus. He was the Rav of Baltimore at that time. The old Rav of Baltimore." He says, "He's sitting and learning Torah at night." So that left a lifelong impression. He must have been 6-7 years old. You know, the Torah is the most important thing there is. He's the only one that learns Torah when everybody else is sleeping. It must be very important. So a child that sees a father learning by himself or at night when he wakes up, sees him learning, that's a tremendous lesson. It's very important to have that lesson. So try to learn maybe with the chavrus in the house. What about his children? I don't know. So one night in your house, one night in his house. But try to, it's very important to have a demonstration for the kids of your chashivas for Torah learning. Or Friday or Shabbos, you have to demonstrate that you're sitting and learning. Or it also has a big impression when the mother tells the children that our father is now in the base medrash sitting and learning, you can't disturb him right now, something like that. It's also a lesson. But the message has to get out that you're sitting and learning. It's very important. You also have to spend time learning with your children. That's very important also. You have to know that you care about their learning. So Shabbos is a good time for that, to spend time for each child. You give them a certain slot that you learn with him. And always, of course, with encouragement, not putting him down because he doesn't know, but always encouraging him, giving him compliments for what he knows, and making it a nice, pleasant experience learning with you, not getting angry at him or reprimanding him for not getting a good mark, but demonstrating your enthusiasm for learning. That's the most important. The other day, 2 years ago, there was a... here in Baltimore, there was a 100th anniversary of TA, of the school here, the local school. So they asked me to speak there, so I told them, I went through 12 years of this school, and I told them, I don't remember one thing that they taught me. Everybody was laughing. But what I remember is the enthusiasm of the teachers, those teachers that were enthusiastic. The principal, what he cared about. That's what you remember from school. None of us remember, not just me. None of us remember what we learned in elementary school. Kimat. Barely we learned how to read. But we don't remember anything they taught us, like, per se, usually. But the enthusiasm, right, how important Torah is to the teacher that we learn. And that's what has to be transmitted to your children, your enthusiasm for learning. how much you're happy when he knows what a great thing he did. He learned Torah. How wonderful is a small child. And his someone, whenever his child used to come home and he chazed the chumash with him, a small child, he took him on his shoulders and sang with him, danced with him for the great accomplishment of knowing. So ingrained in a child, avasata, enthusiasm is what's important. That you have to give over to your child. Now for that, of course, you have to be enthusiastic yourself. That's very important. You can't just fake it. Enthusiasm has to come from the inside. So you have to make sure that you're enthusiastic. And that you do the rest of the week when you learn and you keep your stowing. And then when it comes Shabbos and you learn with your child, you're enthusiastic. You give over that enthusiasm to your child. That'll remain a lifelong kinyan for your child. Okay? Yeah. No? Any other questions? Yeah.
Rashiva said about for a person that the most important thing is midas. Is it the same thing with a person's son raising a son that the most important thing should be midas or the Torah? If it's different, why is it different?
Midas you can't teach, I don't think. Midas you do by example. Torah you can teach. But midas, example. Of course, a child has a bad midah, you have to pin it out to him, he's not behaving well, he's not thoughtful. But you can't concentrate all day on midas. Right? A particular event happens that the child shows a breach in midas, you have to correct him or point out what's the right way to act. But it's not something that you can do all day in midas. Learning is something that you do all day. So you need both, actually. Yeah. Yeah, fine. No? What is the most important thing to do in your community? Let me ask you a question. Let me answer it. you're all Baruch Hashem, you're people aren't yeshiva, you're whatever you're doing, but you're in the upper level of the Torah community in each of your communities. You've been in Torah. Study yeshiva, you learn it. What can you do for your community more than anything else? Everyone has to some degree some connection with Tzorchei Tzibur. What can you do with the Tzibur? I think the most important thing is making sure the community wants to maintain the separateness as Jews. We know there are different currents in Jewish society. One current says you have to make sure that we're the best possible Jews we can be, even at the expense of not being like goyim. And there's another current that says the first consideration is to be loved by the goyim, and we have to adjust our Yiddishkeit to make sure that we're like goyim, to dress like them, talk like them, be like them. There's a current like that in Judaism. And that current sometimes takes all of shuls. It makes, because of that current, decisions are made in a shul. You have to be like goyim. Let's say this feminism is a interest to be like goyim. It's not so much to give rights to women or to make them assistant rabbis. The main thing is we feel good when the New York Times approves of what we do. The barometer is the New York Times. If they approve of what we do, there's something wrong with us. We have to be doing something that the New York Times doesn't agree with, because we have a different set of values. What's the New York Times? I'm giving you some motion, New York Times. I mean the whole intelligent, liberal, Western world. What do they want out of life? COVID and title. That's what they want. Two things. Right? And we want Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Direct opposite. We can never join with them in anything. We can never be part of their society. Thanksgiving, for example. Thanksgiving is a nice neutral holiday. Who could be against giving Hagdolah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Thanksgiving. Probably the only country in the world that has such a day is America. It's basically a religious country. Thanksgiving. And it's very nice. A lot of Jews love this Thanksgiving because you can be a Jew and be a guy at the same time. That's what's so attractive about Thanksgiving. Yeah. So, but I would say, Dafke, don't permit a Thanksgiving celebration. Don't let Thanksgiving into your homes. Don't let it into the shul. Thanksgiving, let the goyim have Thanksgiving. But our Thanksgiving is a totally different approach to life. It's a totally different thing. We can't join with them in anything. I think the message that we should be trying to give as much as we can to our communities is a Jew is different from a goy. Atem tili, mamleches kani v'goy kodesh. We can't join with goyim in anything. Even when we have the same activities, we can't join with them. That's all. Because now it's probably clearer than it ever was that we can't join with them. After all, we don't believe that a man should turn himself into a woman. We're radicals, we're bigots for believing that. And we're not talking about things which are old hat already. There are battles that are long lost, if it's homosexuality or feminism. Those are battles that are lost already. Now the battle is the transgender battle. And naturally, you're going to have rabbis that are going to say, oh, you bring rayas from Chazal, the transgender is a Torah idea, actually. We bring a raya that Adam Rishon was born half man, half woman, or created half man, half woman. You can bring rayas there. I've seen that. You bring rayas, the transgender also. So we have to know, no shaykhes, you're a goy and I'm a Jew. Very nice. I treat you with respect. I'm not mevazi you. I treat you with as much respect as I possibly can. I'm supposed to give kovet abrius, kovet to everybody, but I can't join with you in your simchas, in any area of social activity. I don't join with you. We have a different way of looking at things. I don't have to tell you that, but we have a different way of looking at everything. We look differently at children. The way they look at children, we look at children, we look differently at money, the way they look at money, we look at money. We look differently at life, we look differently at death. There's not an area in life that we share with them. Different completely. And that, we have to remember, especially when you're working with goyim, they're very nice people, they're very nice, you see some nice meters, they help you out. They can see, oh, wait, what's wrong with a goy after all? There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that he has a different value system. That's what's wrong with him. Nothing wrong. He can be a nice guy. But his value system is totally different. Right? He's not going to think, how can I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's thinking, how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu serve me? Maybe that's what he's thinking. Right? How can I push the right button so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should serve me if he's religious? If he's not religious, there's nothing he thinks about. So your marriage is not the same. Everything is different. Right? The purpose of your marriage and the purpose of family. And every area is different completely. And you have to keep on remembering, Shlo yasani goy, ata v'chaton mikol ha'amim. Again, you have to be nice and polite and respectful and helpful and appreciative and all the good things, all the good midas. But you have to know there's a barrier. If you're a Jew and a goy, that you can't cross. That's all. And let them know that also. They'll sense it also, and that's it. Someone told me that he works, a few people told me this. They work in a workplace where the goyim respect him and don't talk nibble peh while they're around him. They know the Jew, this man is different. They don't talk nibble peh around him. So let them know that. Let them know the difference. And you do that by making Asher Yotze b'kavone, davening Minche b'kavone, right? There's a woman told me once, her husband had a heart problem. They went to Dr. DeBakey. You remember DeBakey? There was a big doctor, DeBakey, in Houston, Texas. The older people remember. He's the guy who thought of this, made the first certain heart surgeries, and he thought that exercise is excellent for the heart, to strengthen the heart. He was a very famous heart surgeon. Came to him from all over the world. So DeBakey came to examine her husband. And she was in the middle of Mincha. And she davened. Her husband was very sick. And she was davening with such kapunah. DeBakey had a whole list of things to do, you know. And the people that are together with the woman that had davened already, wanted to tell him, stop davening. He's going to go walk away without treating the patient. No, he waited, looked at her in awe, with respect, waited till she finished and said, Olenu, and then he treated her. A goy is sensitive, respects a Jew. If the Jew is Elach, if he sees a Jew benching, Shaloi b'kavona, he doesn't respect the Jew's benching. Right? In the middle of the benching, So he's not going to respect it. But if you do b'kavona, you do your mitzvahs b'kavona, then the goyim will respect you. That's a pasuk. They'll be afraid of you. So let's be mischazik and remind ourselves. Why? Because after the son of the tzisa born of the ram, tonu mikol hashonu ki hashonu b'mitzvah secho, ki avtonu makim abin secho. That's why we're different. Not because there's some ethnic reason we're better than goyim. That's not the inyan. Not because we're politer or we're nicer, but because we have mitzvah. Ki hashonu b'mitzvah secho. We have a kedusha, and ki avtonu makim abin secho. Our object is to Avedas Hashem, and may that be the guiding light in everything we do, and keep on steiging, keep on growing. Maybe we'll make a Yachid Kala like this every year, I don't know, we come back and steig more. Kol Tov.